dealing with is we're at the mercy of different internets. When Jared's down south now, down South Carolina, North Carolina, maybe. So he's, you know, he doesn't have his regular stuff set up. We don't know what the internet where he is, whether that's strong, all that stuff. So we apologize for the breakups. I got a lot of emails about it yesterday. So, oh, coach, it was really good, except then it shut off, and I didn't hear this comment, and I didn't know that comment. And so bear with us. We're trying to iron out all these wrinkles. You can complain all you want to. The Hagman and Hagman report, Doug and Joe Hagman, last night, they went off the air. They could not keep a good solid stream. They couldn't. So they went about an hour and a half into their show. They shut it down. So, you know, we can blame the devil. We can blame a lot of different things going on. Mark Trump tells us so much about artificial intelligence and cybersecurity. Is it an attempt to silence us? I don't know. You know, when you say they're trying to silence me, it makes you sound like you think you're important. So I don't really know. But we did have some streaming issues yesterday, and we'll fight through them, do the best that we can. And again, I thought yesterday's show was amazing. I want to, as I've pulled back and I've thought about our event this last week, and I continue to get emails from people that just blow me away how they were impacted by it. Caveat, let me throw it out there. Don't Facebook me. I cannot respond on Facebook. I'm in jail. I think I get out May 4th. I'm not sure. I think. So if you're sending me messages on Facebook, folks, I cannot respond to you. So I don't want you to think, he doesn't even respond. I can't. Okay. I can read everything that's up there, but I can't respond to it. So keep that in mind. But what I'm hearing is how many people whose lives were really, I don't like to use the word change, but impacted by the event that we had in this last week in Canton, Ohio. The DVDs, we have a 12, maybe a 13-part DVD. Every speaker will be on it for $35. We're having that being marketed even right now. Now, folks, here's what I just want to encourage you on this. We spoke yesterday about first truth, and I'm going to dig into that a little bit here today as well. First truth. Chad, don't let me forget you. I want you to make your announcement here. My brain. First truth. That's what we're battling. First truth. And one of the things I suggest, somebody else has suggested you do this. Get some people, get together some people and watch one of the videos. Not all of it. It's an hour long. They don't want to watch the video. Find a certain topic that you think is important and, you know, get some people over to your house and show them a video. That'd be a good place to start. Or any way that you can, the CD set that's available, you could play them an hour and a half of Bill Federer, what Bill Federer said, or what L.A. Marzulli said, or what Mark Trump says. See, there's all kinds of tools available to you. You're just going to have to step out, man. You're just going to have to risk it and try to invite some folks over and get started. Because the greatest complaint, that's not the right word, the anxiety that people had is they're all alone. They're all alone, and they're not really all alone. So we're trying to connect people together here. As I said, we're not a cult. We're not trying to get people to follow us. We're trying to connect people together. Assemble, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even as we see that day approaching. That's what we're trying to do. And speaking of assembling of ourselves together, our Texas Salt and Light Brigade leader down there in Temple, Texas, Chad. Chad's got an event coming up at his place. Chad, go ahead and spark that out to our folks and let them know how they can get connected or get involved with it, Chad.
Okay. Well, everybody, we're having it the May 4th, 5th, and 6th. That 4th is a Friday. We kick off at 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. with a cook-off. If you want to come, please RSVP me at Texas. So that I can have the proper food amount for you. And also, we'll be doing our main course of the meeting on Saturday, Bible study, scripture, spiritual warfare. Basically, we're applying the things that you learned at the conferences, at the Hear the Watchman and then the Occupy conference. And then we'll do a little bit of shooting and stuff because we can't occupy if we're dead, so we need to be able to defend ourselves and those we love, and you know, right wrongs. And then Sunday will be, we'll have more Bible study, communion, and then we'll close it out from there. So sure like to have as many people as possible that there. If you have transportation issues, financial problems, or anything like that, please just send me an email and discreetly I'll get you some money and get you here round trip. So just it's a great experience.
It is. And folks, listen, we have to begin to take purposeful vacations. You know, you can save up your money all year to go to Myrtle Beach. You could go wherever you would go. But I think it's going to be best for your spiritual growth if you include purpose with your pleasure. And that's what these events do. Chad's doing. I've been down there for one. We'll get down there again here soon, Chad. Chad's really got it going down there. So, folks, you heard it. What was that? What was the date again, Chad? Was it the 4th, 5th, and 6th?
Yeah, it's May 4th and 6th. The 4th is a PM. We'll have a little cookout and all that stuff and all that. So bring your guns, too, if you got some guns. I find a lot of people have guns. They hadn't shot them. So come on. Let's go.
Let's get it going. Chad's got a good place to shoot there. Hey, Marty, Kelly, I haven't heard from you in a while. I hope you're good. Reconnect here with Chad. Karen, yeah, I hope you can get down there, Kevin. We got a lot of lonely people out there fighting this fight all by themselves, and that's not healthy, folks. It's not healthy. So we have to begin to build these networks of fellowship. I looked down on our list. We've got some great, man, some great, great folks in here. Oh, man. A lot I want to talk about. I want to double back a little bit on what we did yesterday. For those of you who missed it, I think it's critical. I want to play off of that. And that was the idea that Mark Trump, that I said this book here's data, and that nothing new under the sun. And this book here, if we open this thing up, there's data on every page. And you can go as deep as you want to go or as shallow as you want to go. What's happened to us in our churches is we're shallow. We don't go very deep. We surface read the Bible.
Hey,
for
Coach,
instance, right here. Yes.
So, you know, I thought about what Mark said the other day about first truth. And then I thought about in Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And then I thought, you know, when I was down in Rockport, when we arrived at Rockport in the wake of Hurricane Harvey, and we stayed at that church down there, we mm-hmm. arrived, and Pastor Dumpy was sitting in the kitchen with his crew doing devotions. And then when we were out there working, we were, you know, scouting around to see what we were going to do. There was Pastor Dumpy with his boys jacking up a trailer for that couple to get back into it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I'm saying, this is, you know, this is how we teach our children. This is how we train them up.
Amen.
So Mark did the first truth. Okay. And then we follow up with ministry.
Well, you know, Dale, it's funny because I know that situation with Pastor Bill. He drove his grandson, a group from his church, went down to Port Arthur, but he took his grandson with him on purpose because he said, you know, my grandson's getting a little bit, he's at that age, he's getting a little bit flighty. He says he needs to know how a real man behaves. Now, there is purposeful, see. It wasn't convenient for Pastor Bill to do that, but he understands the importance of his son seeing what ministry looks, grandson seeing what ministry looks like. And if you think about it, guys, in your local church, you have a father-son retreat. Father-son retreat doesn't teach your kid, doesn't teach your son what men do. Come on, it doesn't really. The only way you teach your kid, if you want your kid to be a vibrant, competitive, I hate to use that term, but competitive Christian, we're in competition here, boys, not with each other, but with the devil. If you want your kids to be a competitive Christian, then we better show them how it's played. I used to get so frustrated when my kids were playing T-ball, when Zach was like 5 years old and he first started playing T-ball, and we would go out to the T-ball game, and kids would be coming to play T-ball who didn't look like he'd ever held a bat in their life. There's a single mom bringing their 5-year-old kid to play T-ball. He doesn't even know how to hold a bat. And heck, I've been working with Zach from the time he was 2 years old. how to hit it and where to run, which base to go to, what's an out, what's safe. Zach knew all the rules at five. Now, think about that from a Christian perspective. Your kids know any rules at all? If your kids know how to play Christianity at all? Now, I'm not talking about in their personal life. I'm talking about, do they know how to take the gospel principles and apply them into the world in which we are sending them? And I would say they do not. And why don't they? Because we don't teach them how to do it. We teach our kids how to play golf and how to play football and how to fish, but we don't teach them the things about what's really, really important to you. So if your faith isn't important to you, if contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints isn't important to you, why is it going to be important to your kid? And how's your kid going to ever learn how to contend for the faith if he never goes with his dad and sees how to contend for the faith? And dad, why don't you contend for the faith? Because you never saw your dad do it. It's just kind of falls in line and makes sense, doesn't it? What's important to dad becomes important to the child most times. And so I'm with you, Glenn. I don't know how you rode me down that path, but to me, it's crucial. It's all together. And so that's why I'm saying, to me, it is so important. Get your butt here in June. There is no reason why you can't be here in June. If it was a funeral here, you'd be here. If somebody said, you get to Ohio June 14th, they're giving away $10,000 to everybody who comes, you'd make it. So it's all about how bad you want to do it. And some of you need a kick in the butt. Some of you need your faith strengthened a little bit. Some of you need to grow a little bit of hair on your chest, and that's what we're going to help you to do. Now, women, we won't grow hair on your chest. You're welcome to come. We'll put you in the game too. But I look around at all this crazy stuff. I got a litany of things over here that shouldn't be gone, that we shouldn't be okay with, other than First Truth, Mark. First Truth, we think we're supposed to love everybody. We're supposed to love everybody and accept everybody and tolerate everybody. The First Truth, it's wrong, and it's hard to break through that paradigm. Hard to break through it. We have to break through it.
Amen, Coach.
Some things are not okay. And no matter what that 6-foot icicle told you, sometimes you got to stand up and push back. Sometimes you have to offend people. And sometimes you have to come across as gruff, which is the word I heard about me. Sometimes you got to come across as gruff and opinionated and strong. Not all the time, but sometimes that's okay. Sometimes that's what being a man's all about. It's okay. Despite the First Truth that they taught you in the church, that you're supposed to act like a woman. Let me say amen. And so the problem we're fighting, amen. The problem we're fighting is men don't know how to be men. And pastors don't want to teach them how to be men.
Amen.
And so men are men. Amen. They don't know how to be. You stick them in church. I tell everybody the first thing happened to me when I went to, you guys get me. You see what I'm like. I've always been like this. Except I was always like this for Budweiser or the Browns or the Buckeyes or the Bengals. I was never like this for the Lord. And then I got on fire for the Lord and I go into the church and the first thing they want to do is domesticate me. They want to turn me into a woman. Look, it's come on, man. I hear there's a war going on. I hear there's a cultural war. Hey, put me on that army. Where's that army? Oh, we don't have an army, Coach. You want to be an usher? You like to be an usher? I say, yeah, I'll be an usher. I'll run that tear, those tears right out of here. No, you can't do that. You have to be a woman. You have to be womanly to be a Christian. The first truth that we have to break through. And you tell me, that was a rhetorical question. You guys are fighting that right now, right where you're living right now. You're trying to break through a first truth of one of your friends or people at your church or your children, and they don't get it. And because they don't get it and your eyes are open, you're beginning to question yourself. Is there something wrong with me? Am I missing it? Why can't everybody else get it? Because the scripture is very clear. Broad is the way and narrow. Many and few. Yeah.
Let me just show this out. So we go on a path of correcting these people to dig into their truth. Now, one thing
real
we got
real truth, real truth,
real truth, real truth, the truth. When we do that, everybody needs a different path to that due to their own experiences. So right. One thing we got to be sure of is we don't use the same language on all these people to convince them of the same thing, because it's like the relationship is where that counts, because then you That's can right. talk about things that relate to them to dig down to that truth. So it's not a superficial thing. You can't send them a flyer to open that up. You have to work with them, and it takes time. You know, one of the things I saw is one of Russ Dizdar's patients that they worked on over a year ago, they're still working with. So if you want to save somebody, you got to be committed. You got not like in a mental institution. I mean, you got to be committed to them, right?
Yeah, and that's right.
You can't stop until it's done. You can't give up. Okay, so that's what I've seen in Russ Dizdar and when he does his work. Whenever they pull all these people out of the police departments, they got nowhere to send these people like that are spiritually damaged. So that's what Russ does. He takes these spiritually damaged people and works with them. There's no one else. There's no one else to do this work.
There isn't, brother. Hey, Jared, go to Matthew 28 real quick. I'm going to show you what we're talking about here, okay? Let's see. Maybe it's Luke. Maybe it's in Luke. Hang on. Dale, what's that other passage in Luke? Go ye into all the world and lay hands on the sick, and recover. Blah, blah,
blah, blah. Mark chapter Luke. 16.
Mark 16. Let's go to Mark 16.
Hey, Coach, while you're going there,
yeah.
Revelations chapter 2. I'm telling you, my brain has just been racing with this first truth. Brother, his opening letter to the church was return unto your first love. Do your first works over. Brother, it's that, you know, there is no other after that. There isn't. It's Jesus plus none.
It's Jesus plus none. And guys, listen to me. I couldn't find it there. Our job, listen to me. Our job is not to get people saved. Our job is to make disciples. That is not the same thing. Make disciples. The church wants to get people saved. Then put them in pews and stack them up like cordwood. Make disciples. Make somebody follow the disciplines. And what's the discipline? The rules and the regulations and the hows and the wherefores and the whys. Make disciples. Follow the data. Follow the data. Oh my goodness.
Not only to return to the first fruits, but how many times does it say in the New Testament that which you heard from the beginning, from the beginning, from the beginning.
Amen.
Mark 16, 15 through 18, Coach.
Thanks, Dale. Where is it? Let me finish. Mark 16. I'm getting back there. Jared's got it up. Jared's doing better than me today. Mark 16, where are you, Jared? Now I got to find you. Yeah, I know you are, but I'm trying to find you, Johnny. John Smith. Oh, my screen, see? There, not there. Where's John Smith? Where's John Smith? Jared. I'm telling you, I don't see.
Yours is he's under Jared today, Coach.
Yeah, he's not John
he's Smith. He's under Jared.
Okay. Going to all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature, and he that believeth and baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Boy, do we sell that one? Huh? And these sons shall follow them that believe in my name. Shall they cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take hands? They shall take up serpents, they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. Shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Isn't this interesting? That they shall take, if they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. Heard who? Well, those who signs are following. Those who believe. Not just those who believe, but those who believe and these signs are following. In my name, they cast out devils. They speak with new tongues. That's why Russ Dizdar said to me, I said, Russ, aren't you scared about some of the places you go? He says, no, I'm not scared, Coach. I'm in Jesus' arms. Hey, what better protection do you have? If it's my time, it's Jesus' idea, man. It's okay with me. What a way to think. What a way to think. Why? These signs should be following us. Okay, cool. Take a deep breath, Coach. Take a deep breath here. This is good stuff, man. This is the heart of it. That's why our churches are full of so many rotting fish. They're rotting. They've never been discipled. They've never had anybody taken by the hand and shown how to play the game. No one has ever done that for them. They are stuck on first fruits. What first truth? What's first truth? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in them shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Boom, that's all they know. That's all they know.
But it goes on to say, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil.
Come on, man. Come on.
Well, mm-hmm. the implication here in Mark, when it says go into all the world, it says that really is you go. You go. Not the pastor go. You go. I go.
You go. Jared, go to chapter 15 right there. Stay right there. Go to chapter 15. Because, Mark Trump, you've ruined me. Or you've perfected me. I don't know which it is. Every time I read a scripture now, I want to go deeper. I see the ability to go deeper. So here we are, chapter 15, verse 1. Chapter 15, verse 1. I don't care. You pick up any chapter, you open it up, and you think data. You think data. And think this. What's the story behind the story? What's the story beyond what they're telling me right here? So look at this. Are you ready? Here's where my mind just is gone now. Mark, you've screwed me up. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consult with the elders and the scribe and the whole council. Now, wouldn't you like to know the backstory of that meeting? Wouldn't you like to have been in that meeting? They held a council. These guys are all getting together. Wouldn't you like to have a record of what was going on in that meeting? Because if we had a record of what was going on in the meeting, we'd have heard the whys and whys nots of Jesus and why he had to be crucified and how he was making people mad. And we would have had all the information. But when you read it in the Bible, it's just, these guys all got together. And after they got together and they came out of that meeting, they said, well, let's take him to Pilate. Wouldn't you like to have known behind the scenes? That's all data. Everything we read in there is just the top layer. There's a whole bunch of back data in every daggone sentence that we read in this book. Is anybody picking up on that with me? Huh? And Pilate asked him, next verse, and Pilate asked him, are you king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, thou sayest it. Is that the only conversation they had? Is there more going on here? And what's Jesus thinking when he said it to him? What's Pilate digging at here? Why would Pilate ask him that? There's a whole backstory to all this. We got to take the words off of the page and go deeper into, and maybe I'm the only one, Scott. Maybe I'm the only one who understands. John the Baptist didn't care about trying. Robert said John the Baptist didn't care about trying to persuade anyone. He just told them the truth. I'm to speak the truth and let the Holy Spirit do its job. Amen. Go ahead, Dale.
In the Gospel of John, it says everything was recorded of what he had said and what he had done. There would not be enough books to contain it all, brother. What we
data,
see.
Data, Mark. Data. Good. I hate to walk on you guys. It's data.
It is, brother. You can walk on me, brother. I'm over here smiling.
It's data, man. It's all data. Why don't we know how to cast out devils? Because we don't know the data. We don't know it. And there isn't anybody telling us. You read in there that Jesus said, go cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and see him recover. And we don't understand the data underneath it. Why were we able to do that? And what happened when he went and he died on the cross and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave? We don't understand the back data. We don't get the whole story. We read surface.
Hey, Coach.
Go deeper.
Hey, Coach, you know what it is?
What's that, Ben?
The religion has been reduced to a common core level.
Elementary school common core. That's right. Vinny, that's really good, isn't it? Huh? Because we all want to agree on the basics and don't anybody go into the data.
Yeah, take it one more step. The churches are being graded on how little they teach, just like the schools. Think about that. You know, if they're doing the right thing, they're gonna get kicked out of the conference. If they're not,
you go too deep.
All right, check it out, Coach. They have quotas. They have quotas. The churches are being measured by the central groups on the quotas of like revelations. If they teach revelations too much, they get in trouble. You know, and my wife was in the church, and she got these quota things, and she had to make the bulletins and keep track of that. But there's quotas on what they're allowed to preach on.
Yeah.
Centrally controlled. Y'all remember the news clip where everyone was speaking the same lines?
Yeah, right.
That's what they want out of these centrally controlled churches. They want that.
Devil's coming to church. Go ahead, Dale.
Yeah, Coach, you said it right at the beginning of the show, is that we think becoming a Christian is to tame us and make us good people. That is not what he has called us to do. He has called us to unleash the line of the spirit that raised Christ from the dead and go around destroying the kingdom of darkness, brother. The violent taketh by force, brother. And churches, most churches have got us to where we're supposed to be nice. And now that you're saved, you know, you're supposed to dress nice and be nice. John the Baptist did not dress nice, nor was he nice.
So this weekend, after our event was over this weekend, we all went over to Russ Dizdar's house. He invited us all over. It was about 30 of us, maybe more than that, that were there. Russ was there, and L.A. Marzulli was there, and Ray LeBlanc was there, and Mark Trump was there, and Paul Bagley was there, and some people I didn't even know were there. And we all sat around. We chewed on chicken bones and ribs and talk to one another, and you know what? I know Russ Dizdar in a different way now that I didn't know him before. I know L.A. Marzulli in a way that I didn't know him before. And you know what? L.A. Marzulli knows Ray LeBlanc in a way he never knew Ray before. So we can go around in our lives, and we can just be surface and have images and preconceived notions of people and places or things, or we can go deeper into the truth.
Amen, brother.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, Mark mentioned earlier that when you're going to get somebody to swallow a red pill, you got to be committed to a long-term process. Jesus in Luke 14:28 said, "For if you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it." Now, for which... speaking of, is a couple of verses before that verse. And starting in verse 26, it says, "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also." Now, this is the word says hate in this verse. "Shall not hate his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Now, this is the same verse expressed in a different way of the verse that says that you have to love Jesus more than your mother, father, brother, and sister, okay? And that word hate is not a word that we relate to hate today, but it's a love-less word, okay?
Larry, it's all data, though. It's all data. Who's your brother? Who's your sister? What does it mean to love? It's all data. Every bit of that sentence is data.
And then the next verse, before the one about counting the cost, is, "Whosoever doeth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, there's some data to chew on.
Sure. Yep, yep. Yeah, Jared.
Amen, brother.
First time you've ever been excited about it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. See, this stuff that hey, guys, the Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. Jared, pull up for me. Can we play a video, Jared? Hey, yeah, I think we can.
Can we ask pull Jared up, pull up. Why is he excited?
Well, yeah, Jared. Mark wants more. You want more data, don't you, Mark?
Yes.
I can understand why Jared was excited. We were pushing so much data that he had to manipulate. He didn't have time to think about anything else.
Yeah.
That's true. Hey, Jared, why? And give us some data, Jared. Why on Mark? Why on that question of Mark?
Amen.
Yeah. Let's go inspect the data, right? Let's go inspect the data. Yes. Wow. Me too, buddy. That's a great description.
Amen. Amen.
Jared, are you pulling up the video of Lexi there, Jared? I kind of interrupted you. Anybody else want to piggyback on that? Okay. Anybody else? Because listen, the Bible says this. Yeah.
Well, he's getting video ready. There was a story yesterday about a poacher killed a lion cub, and the entire pride devoured that freak.
I saw that. I saw that, Vinny. That lion went after and ate him, man. Righteous are as bold as lions. Okay, folks, I want you to watch this. The Bible says, Michelle said, Jared, that she can't hear the other people speaking. I don't know if it's on our device or what. You got that, Jared? Okay. That's it. Maybe you guys can't hear Jared. Again, be with our technical issues. The scriptures tell us this, folks. You shall know them by their fruit. Okay? And so I throw myself out there. I throw this show out there. I throw Past Assault Ministries out there. And I saw this myself this weekend. And why I came away extremely encouraged. And this is not braggadocious. That's not the intention. There's a lot of fruit, boys. There's a lot of fruit here. And it's not rotten fruit. It's good fruit. It's good fruit. I'm reading the emails. I hear Jared say he's never been more excited about being a Christian. I'm trying to encourage you, for the friends of yours who are telling you, oh, stop listening to that guy. He's an idiot. Yeah, all that stuff. All those people trying to tell you, quit doing that. Because there's some guys that have fallen off the wagon here, right? We've lost some who fell off back somewhere along the line. Somebody influenced them, and they're not listening anymore. So Mike Kerr, we're just going to watch 2 minutes of this. Mike Kerr, Hear the Watchman. Mike Kerr, Hear the Watchman. This is one of his video. A Star is Born. A Star is Born. I want you to listen to the first 2 minutes of this. Go ahead, Jared.
Hi, everybody. It's Mike from Hear the Watchman. And blown away by what's going on in Canton, Ohio at the Occupy Conference. And I have someone for you today that has an amazing testimony. Not only that, she's actually a very beautiful young lady. Her parents are sitting right over there watching us do this interview, so no gossip stuff. Lexi, I want to introduce her. It's Lexi. She is from the state of Texas, and Coach Dave introduced me to her, and Mark Trump introduced me to her, and she is just truly amazing. Lexi, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Lexi, you've got a fantastic story. Tell me a little bit about your journey and what your testimony is.
Well, so I'm 17. So I just turned 17 a few days ago. But I think I truly met the Lord and started knowing the Lord like 8 months ago or so. And my eyes were truly opened by Coach Dave, actually watching his broadcast and everything. So my parents show me the videos of Coach Dave, and then I started watching them and everything. So that's really where I started watching his videos and everything. And my eyes open about abortion and what it truly was. And so from then on, I started really wanting to go out there and end abortion and start actually helping with that. So me and my mom got a few packets and some literature to hand out, and we went down to our local Planned Parenthood, and we've been going there for a few months now.
So. Cut it off there, Jared. So here's the question. How many Lexis are there in your life that could be influenced by what goes on right here, and you don't share it? Who would have ever thought that some 16-year-old girl would be impacted like that? Jared, who you just heard, said that he's never been more excited about his faith than he is right now. When Jared would tell you that when he first started working, running this show, he thought I was a a-hole. Wasn't that the word you used, Jared? An a-hole. And then look what's happened in Jared's life as a result of not me, but us coming together, throwing a piece of red meat on the table and cutting it up and chewing on it and figuring out what's really, really going on. And so what are you saying? I'm saying this. We got to stop being so timid. We got to stop being so timid. If we aren't more aggressive with guys and girls Lexi's age, if we don't grab that next generation, in 20 years, we're dying off. There ain't going to be any hope no matter what. And Roger, I think of you, Roger, and you're in that Sunday school and you're trying to, you got six or seven guys in there and you're trying to give them the truth, and the pushback you're getting from the people who have a first truth that you can't cut through. We have to do that no matter what it costs us. That's what we have to do. I bet we got stories after stories after stories of people who are growing as a result of this. And why are they growing? Very simple. They're getting rid of that first truth or building upon that first truth. They're not afraid to say, you know, I've believed that my whole life, but maybe there's something to what he's saying. Let me listen again. Are you with me, guys? That's the battle. That's the battle we're fighting in our churches. That's the battles we're fighting in our families. Their minds are stuck in a rut. They're stuck in a rut. How could you not? First of all, do I have to say that, Lord? Yes. Okay. How could you be within 4 hours of last week's event and not come? Ah! Now, how can you be within 24 hours of June 14 and 15 and not come? Other than you got a bad first truth. Can't afford it. I get sick when I drive. I don't know. A thousand reasons. Now, I've got a fishing trip that weekend. Well, it's priorities.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
You know, this is the reason that Francis Chan left his 5,000 member church that he was pastoring, okay? Because he realized that, you know, people were just coming to hear him, all right? And so now what he does is he's doing church in the home, and he made a statement. He said, you know, we're going to train people for a year, and then I'm going to kick them out and then tell them, you go start your own group, your home church group. You've learned enough now. It's time to leave the nest.
Hey, Glenn, the people in this queue are so far ahead of the other people in their church. Now, listen, that doesn't mean they're better Christians, okay? That doesn't mean they're better Christians. Then they didn't do that. They're so far ahead on the data than the average person sitting in the pew. And for you to think that you don't have the ability to start something right in your home, look at all the resources. Just look at the resources that I bring for you, a YouTube video that you can play to a group of 10 people who will get it. Sarge, that's what you're doing, isn't that, Sarge? Isn't that what you're trying to do up there in Maine? I thought he's still there. Maybe he's hiding.
Ah, there we go. Isn't that what
you're doing, Sarge?
Absolutely. In fact, I got to tell you, we crashed a Bible study of a local denominational church last night. We brought our guitar and we were singing and we had a heck of a time.
Take the truth to them, huh? Come on,
absolutely,
guys.
We actually talked about giants for like 3 minutes and should have seen the eyeballs.
Oh, my Lord, huh? Plant that seed. Roger, you tried to jump in. I think I heard you.
Oh, I was just going to say, the last couple of days, I've been kind of in a blue pill funk. And I want to thank the men in the huddle. And I say this sincerely because I spoke with a number. And you need also men sometimes when you get in that blue pill funk, you know. Been there, Dave. I've been there, other men. But that's why you can't go it alone. And I'm not saying not to start something by yourself, but it is so important for men to gather, be it June, be it August, or whenever, to gather with like-minded men to kind of refuel a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I encourage that because I've been in a blue pill funk for a couple days. You know, am I crazy? Am I off the mark? Why am I the troublemaker? You know, why? and yes, there's probably some refining in my life that's needed, but I'm able to have some men that help me slowly move away from the blue pill funk to get back productive for our Lord.
Serge, has your faith ever been more alive?
Amen. I just wanted to say this young girl, she got up and just started saying a few words for her to go to her parents and tell
her. Speak up a little, Serge, if you can.
All right, let me see if I can fix it. Hold on here. Headset.
Okay. I look over Serge's shoulder. He's got a pass assault hat. He's got a pass assault occupy till I come badge hanging back there. Got a Jesus hat on. Go ahead, Serge.
Amen.
We can hear you now.
All right. I was just trying to remember as much as I could about the few words that young lady said up on stage. It was her that went to her parents and said, hey, we have to go to Planned Parenthood. We have to go to the abortion clinics. Hey, mom, dad, take me out of school. I need to be homeschooled. She doesn't want to be brainwashed anymore. And she's the one, like, coming here. The Holy Spirit helped her to open up her mind to the truth. And I'll tell you, by going this past weekend, it opened my mind. I mean, Jared was so right. By going to Russ's house, it was amazing. I mean, sitting there and talking face-to-face with Doug and Joe Hagman and Don, it was just amazing.
The real people. Real people.
Stephen Memkin, exactly. Real people. And it felt like a movie. My wife said that when I called her. I was in Russ's basement in his private library. My wife loves reading, and I was just videoing a video. Russ said it was all right, and showing her all the books. And she said I looked like I was a little kid, and I was stunned. I was stunned. It was an amazing, eye-opening time for me.
And folks, listen to this. I didn't know this. I'd seen Serge once, maybe a year and a half ago, when we did an event up at Buffalo. And I walked into the room on Friday, the event starts, and there he sits over in the corner, and I didn't even hardly recognize him at first. And I went over and through the series of questions said, you lost weight, Serge? Have you lost weight? Serge, tell him that story.
Well, I didn't do it just to even lose weight, but you asked if anybody wanted to fast with you, and I always tried in the past to fast, but I just never did it for the right reasons. And I ended up doing it for 40 days. I ate one meal a day, and it was just an amazing time. The Holy Spirit just opened up a lot to me, and I plan on doing it more. And
and you lost, what, 35 pounds, Serge?
Yeah, 30 pounds, yeah.
And see, folks, not only that, he now has developed a spiritual discipline in his life that he never had before.
Amen.
Serge, you could have gone to church your whole life, and they'd have never taught you the significance of that, would they?
I did go to church my whole life, and what did I do? Nothing. I even worked for a church that was at the time, $4 or $5 million church, $80,000 weekly budget. And what did I get out of it? Nothing. Zero.
Serge, you bless my heart, man. He's in the battle, man. Serge is in the battle. Now, you say, what are you talking about? Well, you know what Serge's job was at the thing? Serge sat in the front row and he held up the 10-minute, 5-minute to the speakers. He was a beast, but it was his job and he did it well. And he was part of the event. And he mattered, and it mattered. You get this, folks? We all got a role to play. We all have some place that we can fit into this thing. Nobody's doing that for us. Nobody's pointing us and plugging us in. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's recognizing our skill. Or you have a skill, and you don't even recognize it. And then you come along, and a coach says, hey, you'd probably be pretty good at this. And he plugs you in, and then you come alive. This ain't hard. Oh, that's why we need you. Portia, I'm going to read what you wrote there, Portia. Portia says, my little girl Jade is being impacted too. She's 13. She's been trying to tell others at school. She's in a private Christian school about the truth she is learning. She's growing in her faith. I'm praying she will continue. She wrote a great paper on abortion for school, and I was so happy to hear her standing against it. I'm thankful, Coach and the team. You're making more difference than you know. I know we are, Portia. God bless you. I know we are. We can do more, though. We can do more. We can't be satisfied. And some of you guys out there who are afraid to dip your toe in the water, daggone it, come on. You get here June 14th, 15th, 16th. You leave out on the 6th. You get your butt here. Get here. It'd be a great time of growth. You'll be able to walk over and look Serge in the eyes and give him a big bear hug. You'll be able to walk over and see George and give George a big bear hug. You'll be able to walk over and see Roger smoking a cigar and give Roger a big bear hug and say, I saw you. I recognize you now from the queue. And then we'll all get together. There'll be great, great dynamic things going to happen there. We'll go to the streets and we'll do some street ministry for the cause of Christ. And you will never be the same.
Amen.
That's my promise. It'll never be the same. Okay. I got two things I want to show you here real quickly. I think so. If somebody want to say something before I do, I just felt the prompting that somebody wants to say something. I'll tell you. Hang on. Guys, look. This is going on everywhere. I came across, hey, Jared, I'm sorry. Just Candace Owens. These first truths are being attacked everywhere we look. I don't know if you guys saw, was it Kanye West? Kanye West came out as a Trump supporter. Did you guys see that?
Yeah. Yep.
And did you notice this? I don't know if you've noticed this. You see, you have to have eyes to see. They had another election last night in Arizona, and some lady who was a Republican won, but just won barely. They said, oh, no, my goodness, Republicans are in trouble. No. Listen, folks, Trump's not a Republican.
Right.
People hate the Republican Party. People are losing their confidence in the Republican Party. Why? Because that first truth is being exposed. Now they're seeing it. So when somebody goes to vote, they're not voting Republican, Democrat anymore for the most part. In fact, most of them are seeing what's going on with Donald Trump, and they're saying, well, I'm not voting for the Republicans because they're not supporting him. And so the media is telling us that what's going on with Trump, and he's losing all his support, and it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite that's going on. This paradigm of Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal is being exposed, and people are waking up and they see it. Yeah, you follow me? So here, Kanye West, you guys don't even know who he is, but he's catching all kinds of hell because he's leaving the plantation, saying Trump's saying a good thing, and he's black. And then Candace Owens, I don't know if you guys have followed Candace Owens or not. She is rocking. She's all over. She was on Fox News. She's everywhere. But I want to play this little clip of Candace Owens. It says video, Jared. Maybe I told you the wrong thing. It says video right under Candace Owens. And this is, she's at a forum. This is a black woman. A black woman. First truths are being exposed everywhere we look. Okay, so Jared's got it up here on the screen. She is part of, it's only a minute 19. And if you want to, try to read along because she talks really, really fast. She's a young black woman. She used to be a Democrat. Her eyes are being opened. She's getting rid of that first truth that she had. This isn't about politics. It's about your denomination. It's about those beliefs that you look at, those surface beliefs that you had, all those just shallow surface beliefs. Are you willing to dive deeper? You willing to dive deeper? Listen to what's happened here with Candace. Go ahead and play us, Jared. It's only a minute and a half.
What you're seeing happening today, obviously, we have some black people that are just shouting in the back. We have some black people that are sitting in the front quietly that are chanting USA and having a normal conversation. I love that because what I say every single time, and you may have seen me on the news, is that what is happening right now in the black community, you're going to hear it in this room first, there is an ideological civil war happening. Black people that are focused on their past and shouting about slavery, and black people that are focused on their futures, okay? That's really what it comes down to, okay? I can guarantee you what you're seeing happening is victim mentality versus victor mentality.
That's
I promise
great, by
you,
the way. The people here are going to win. I love
victor
that.
Or victim.
And there's no doubt in my mind. I can tell you right now who is going to be better off when we look 20 years and we look at the faces in this room. Who is going to be better off are the girls that are sitting right here and across this room, because they don't have your mentality. Victim mentality is not cool. I don't know why people like being oppressed. It's the weirdest thing I've ever heard. I love oppression. We're oppressed. 400 years of slavery, Jim Crow, which, by the way, none of you guys lived through. Your grandparents didn't. It's embarrassing that you utilize their history. You utilize their history, and you come in here with more emotion than they ever had when they were living through it. More emotion than they ever had when they were living through it. It's embarrassing. You're not living through anything right now. You're overly privileged Americans.
Woo! Huh? So listen, this is going on, folks. This is going on everywhere. There's a real turning. And as Eleanor said to me on this weekend, I told you about this 84-year-old woman I had a conversation with. She says, Coach, there's an exodus going on. There's an exodus. And what I say the exodus is, Mark, this is why I can't get away from it. It's an exodus from First Truth. Our eyes, amen. The Lord, the Holy Spirit is leading us not to a new truth, a deeper truth, a deeper data-filled truth.
Well, things are happening. If you just look, I know that you've been on this and it's changed your dialogue, but Lexi changed mine.
Okay.
Right.
When I saw the look in my granddaughter's eyes.
Tell them that story, Mark. Tell them that story.
Well, you know, when I saw her on the show the first time, you had met her in Houston, I didn't really understand. But I knew it was big because not many people her generation are speaking. And certainly they're not speaking intelligently or of God like that. So I knew I had to get this to my kids, and they're 9 and 11. They were young, and she's doing abortion. So I didn't even ask my son or their mother. I just sat down with them and started showing them the video. And they were just raptured onto this. They were just locked on to this video. And it got to the abortion piece, and I said, do y'all know what abortion is? And they didn't. They'd never been told what an abortion was. And I said, well, let me show you. So I took out pictures of you and me in Columbus and the sign of the second trimester baby in the pan. And then I said, do y'all know what a trimester is? And they didn't.
Data.
So I said, yeah, so I told them about the second trimester, you know, 3 months. And I said, that's whenever sometimes when girls get with boys, they get pregnant. When they don't want their babies, this is what happens. And I mean, they just completely lost it. Mm. They were like, no way, this is not true, granddaddy. Mm. And it changed them. And then that's when I really realized that they didn't have any truth at all before that. And this becomes, whether I was right or wrong or this or that, that could be contested about that. But I was the one who planted it. And I realized that the schools are the ones planting these truths.
Amen. Amen. Because parents won't talk about it because they say the kids are too young. They won't understand. They're innocent. And so we let the schools put the first truth in the kids.
Yeah. What are they doing? You're going into the schools. You're pulling out the lists of acronyms that they're being trained on. And we don't know. We've not had a chance to talk with them, or we're too negligent to talk to them as their parents and grandparents. So this stuff that both you and Dale and JR about the family and the man and the grandparents, this stuff has had its work on me too. And for grandparents to step aside and say, oh, I just like, you know, let them go and they can go home and all that. Well, whenever maybe they're going back to a home that don't have this kind of love, it hurts. It hurts to go home sometimes, you know?
Yeah, and you know what, Mark? As selfish as this might sound, I want him to get the first truth from me, from my daughter. That's where I want the first truth to come from. Yeah. I don't want it to come from somebody in daycare, somebody in kindergarten. Are you kidding me?
Hey, Coach.
My little Reese, I took Reese to the abortion clinic, and I took out those great big pictures, and I pointed at the picture, and I said, Reese, the hurt baby. to hurt babies. Some people want to hurt babies. She gets it. She don't understand the deep data, but she gets it. That's the first truth in her heart.
My granddaughter, 7 years old, went to a Bible club at her grade school all year long. And the last meeting of the Bible club that year, this was just, you know, a few weeks ago, she came home all excited, and she had to come over to my house that night. And she said, "Oh, I gave my life to Jesus at the Bible club." And I said, "Great." I says, "You know, let me ask you what that all means." And she started telling me. I says, "You know, they told you that, but that's not exactly what the Bible says." And I started taking her some real truth from the Word of God. And it didn't turn her off. It didn't disgust her. It made her more. You can't keep her out of reading the Bible now.
Amen. Larry, yesterday, I was showing Reese, our 7-year-old granddaughter. So I can't remember what it was for something. Oh, I know what it was. She had a dollar bill. I paid her $10 to watch our animals while we were gone. And on the back of the dollar, somebody had written, "Patriots suck." And so Reese was really bothered by that. "Patriots suck." She didn't know what it meant. And so I explained to her what it means to suck the hind teeth. And I talked to her about a pig, talk about a runt of a litter. And the runt has to just gets the last one. And I said, "Reese, that's when people say you suck. That's what they're saying. They're saying you're not very important, and you just get the little titit there at the end." And man, oh man, did that open up her eyes.
Amen, Coach.
Folks, we have to share this wisdom. I'm going
to specifically, Coach, what you did is you changed your dialogue to reach down in, and you've established a relationship. You changed the same message in a way, wrapped it in a different way. And this is the hardest part. And this goes to where you start off an idiot, then you become learned, then you become a scholar, then you become a prisoner. So we have all of this great information. We need to equip Lexi. We got to help Lexi with some dialogue that she can, for no other term, dumb down to give her friends. She doesn't see a way to go back into the schools. She doesn't see a way to talk to these people. That's the us. We don't understand why Christians can't get it. She's facing the same thing in her 15, 14 year old quote friends, you know, that I know she's hurting for them, but she just got out of it. And I know that prepared properly, we could equip her to go back into these schools, and people, I know they're just, you know, people are attracted to that girl, her heart, her spirit.
Yep,
her,
yep.
So yep. She would have such an impact if we could get her the right dialogue like you just described.
Amen.
Teach her to ask questions, teach her to be a critical thinker. You know,
so what are we, so what are we doing here at Coach Dave? I'm out of time, Mark. We're striving to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. I like to see people get saved, but be honest with you, I'm more concerned with those who already are, to make disciples, to advance the kingdom of God. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow.